Chapter 4. An Orange Piece of Paper. It was with a strange feeling that Sandra entered apartment 226 Monday morning. She had never let herself freely into a stranger's apartment before. Besides that, she was wearing her old grey shorts, a bleach-stained T-shirt, and bright yellow gloves. Sandra had waited till 9:30 and then run down the stairs and across the hall, hoping no one would see her. "I hope he doesn't have to come home from work to get something," she thought, heading to James's room to collect the laundry and strip the bedsheets. "I'd be so embarrassed to be seen like this." However, once the laundry was going and she'd found her favourite station on the radio, Sandra began to relax. For a moment or two, she stood and stared out the large floor-to-ceiling windows. The view of the sparkling bay waters was almost the same as hers. Rays of sunshine were coming in through those windows, illuminating the dirty glass and every speck of dust. House cleaning was not Sandra's favourite profession, but aside from being a little squeamish about cleaning someone else's bathroom, she didn't mind the work. Growing up, she had taken on many of the household duties, as her mum, an obstetrics nurse and single parent, was far too busy. "I may not be Molly Maid, but I couldn't have had more stringent training," she thought with a smile, mopping sticky marks off the cream-coloured kitchen tiles, leaving them fresh and glossy. Mum was a perfectionist. She knew too much about bugs and bacteria. But there is satisfaction in the work when it makes a difference like this. The hours flew by quickly, and Sandra saved the living room for last because it was the easiest. Taking the dustcloth, she began with the bookshelf. 4 photo frames sat on the top shelf. James must have done some travelling recently, she guessed, picking up one to dust off the frame. The pristine white beach and turquoise water looked very inviting. I wonder where that is. She looked more closely at the other photos, marvelling at the monstrous, ornate cathedral in the largest frame and the snow-capped mountains in the other. Another photo in a glass frame sat in behind the first three. A tall, smiling man with dark curly hair stood behind a boys' hockey team. He looked similar to James, only not nearly so thin. Is this another brother, or just a younger James? She wondered. After dusting each picture frame that sat on the shelf, Sandra turned her attention to the family photo that hung above. Ah, this must have been taken at a wedding, she decided. A stylish older couple were in the foreground, seated on a fancy bench, with 3 young men in grey suits clustered behind them. The skinny one in the middle is certainly James, she decided, although he must have still been in his teens. What a mop of curls! She glanced at the others. Maybe those are his brothers standing beside him, although they don't really look alike. While James was tall, dark and slim, the other two were fair, with heavier builds. Tall, slim. She thought, remembering the courtyard contention. Could James be one of the brothers? She laughed. That would be quite a coincidence if I'm cleaning his house. She tried to imagine what James would sound like if he was pleading with his brother to listen. He does have a nice voice, she considered thoughtfully. But James didn't quite fit the mental picture she was developing of the earnest, caring brother. At least, he didn't fit as well as Mr. Blue. I do hope it was Mr. Blue, she thought. Then her more rational side took over. There are so many people in this condominium. There could be 50 tall men. With a shake of her head, she straightened the books, wondering all the while, why am I letting this bother me? Does it really matter? So 2 brothers had an argument. It's their business. Who am I to get involved? I want to know, she argued back, because I want to know what they were talking about. How nosy is that? But it sounded important. I want to know what it's about. His brother won't give him the time of day. His brother hasn't bothered to listen. Maybe he won't listen because he knows his brother has nothing worthwhile to say. But he sounded so sincere. One of her favourite songs began playing on the radio, and Sandra hurried over to turn it up louder. Returning to her cleaning, she sang along. As she lifted heavy reference books into place and tidied up the collection of CDs, Sandra envisioned herself in the words of the song, standing outside on the balcony in a long flowing dress, calling down to the man she loved. The song lasted for the entire time it took to dust the lampshades, TV, and the stereo. Still singing, her thoughts drifted idly from the family wedding photo sitting up on the bookshelf to her own brother Laurie and his girlfriend Michelle. Laurie had never married. Sandra had never been to a wedding, but she often imagined what such a special day might be like. I wish someone would promise to love me forever, she thought wistfully as her favourite song came to a haunting end. Someone kind and devoted. I'd love to wear a beautiful white dress and ride off to live happily ever after. But that wasn't all she wanted. She also hoped that whomever she married had a sister or two, and a mum, and a dad, She longed to be part of a family. Throughout the years, Sandra had often dreamed of the family she yearned for. She and her mum had been good friends, but unfortunately the men in her life had been rather disappointing. Books and movies had been most instrumental in developing her family ideals. What she liked, she held on to, and what she didn't like, she cast away. It was easy enough to do in a make-believe world, a safe, self-pleasing, fully controlled make-believe world. Reality, however, hadn't been so kind. Vacuuming the floor, Sandra pictured her brother standing in the open doors of a large stone mansion in downtown Stirling. "My dear sister," Laurie was saying with great compassion, "we're happy to welcome you into our home at last. Michelle and I have been waiting to see you, and we're sorry that we've had to cancel our invitations to you over and over again. It's just the way things go sometimes. Work has been very demanding. We've really had no choice. Thank you for being so patient." Sandra smiled as she imagined the lovely, warm feeling of Laurie's embrace and the caring concern in his eyes. "One day," she thought, "it'll all work out, and Laurie will care about me." Polishing the windows, the reverie continued. "I'm thankful you've moved out to Stirling," Laurie was saying sincerely. "I've often told Michelle about my sister, and now look at you, you're all grown up." With Laurie's gentle guiding hand on her shoulder, she imagined he would give her a tour of his grand home. "I want you to know, Sandra, that we're more than happy to have you stay here," he would assure her. "You're our guest. Michelle and I have been well blessed financially, and we're thankful to have the opportunity to share this with you." Wiping the dust off James's windowsills, Sandra imagined Michelle joining in. She wasn't really sure what Michelle looked like, but in her mind's eye, Laurie's girlfriends were always blonde and beautiful. "Let's show Sandra the room we fixed up for her," Michelle beamed happily, taking Sandra's arm. "You're going to love it." The daydream didn't stop there. Often in the past few years, Sandra's thoughts had wandered to this very moment in time. Having been an avid daydreamer all her life, Sandra had imagined every inch of the 4,000-square-foot mansion that Laurie apparently owned. Occasionally, she updated her vision with a new kitchen or decor if she saw something she liked on TV or in a magazine. Sometimes she even envisioned visiting Laurie at his cottage down by the ocean, especially in June and July when the weather was warm. Always in both places she was welcomed, cared for, and completely happy. The only trouble was, she had been waiting an awfully long time. Wandering into the kitchen to wash off her cloth, Sandra heard the hourly news report. "The fourth homicide in Stirling this year. Police are investigating the situation." Having heard the same news 5 times already, she was well aware that there had been another homicide last night, a boating accident, and one armed robbery. Back in Ontario, General Motors were calling for major cutbacks and layoffs, and another large company had just declared bankruptcy. On top of all of that, there was rising panic about an influenza outbreak. It was all rather depressing. "I think I'll bring some music next time," she thought, glancing over at the small CD player that sat on the kitchen counter. There was an elaborate stereo system next to the large TV, but she was sure that would be off-limits. Walking back into the living room, Sandra heard a clip from a speech that the Israeli Prime Minister had given to the Jewish Congress in the United States. "We will never compromise on security," he said. "If there is no security, there can be no peace." Peace. Security. Will they ever have either? Sandra mused. It seemed to her that the Palestinian-Jewish conflict was intractable. "Israel has taken over the Palestinians' land," she thought to herself. "Until they give back what doesn't belong to them, how can they ever expect to have peace?" James's computer desk was covered with dust. Plenty of lint lay in the keyboard. Sandra removed it patiently and organized the pencils and pens that lay scattered on the desktop. She tidied up a few handwritten notes and printed papers. "I don't know what's important and what isn't," she thought, "so I'd better be very careful what I throw out." However, the plastic bin underneath the desk was already overflowing. Picking it up, Sandra dumped the contents into the garbage bag that she was filling by the door. Most of the rubbish consisted of computer print-offs and discarded bills, but a fancy lilac envelope fell out on top of everything else. Curiously, Sandra plucked it out from the pile. It was a beautiful invitation with a broken silver seal. "It's a wedding invitation," she marvelled, scanning the words. "What a pretty pastel purple, and James has thrown it out." The RSVP card and self-addressed envelope were still tucked inside. "I guess he's not planning to go," she thought. "But why wouldn't he want to go to a wedding? I'd jump at the chance." Her eyes glanced briefly over the names on the front, but they were completely unfamiliar. Then she had another thought. Maybe the invitation fell into the garbage by mistake. Just to be on the safe side, Sandra returned the envelope with its contents to the empty plastic bin, setting the bin back in its place under the computer desk. If it was thrown out by accident, then at least it's still in his house, she thought. Maybe he'll see it the next time he sits down at his desk. There was only one task left to finish. Sandra collected all the takeout boxes neatly stacked in the kitchen and the newspapers that had piled up on the coffee table to take down to the manor's recycling bin. There was at least 3 weeks' worth of papers. Good papers. Being content with freebies, Sandra didn't subscribe to the Sterling Star as James did. An article on early learning disorders caught her eye, and she decided she might as well take it home before throwing it out. She set the newspaper aside. Shuffling everything else into one big pile, she noticed a bright orange flyer still lying alone on the floor. Is this important? She wondered. It was an advertisement for an upcoming presentation to be held in the public library. She read the title, Israel, an unwilling witness that God's word is truth. Underneath in smaller print were the words, Forget Nostradamus or astrology. Thousands of years ago, God predicted in great detail the future of the Jewish people. In the last 100 years, his word has been miraculously fulfilled before our very eyes, and there's more to come. The future of the whole world is intertwined with these events. Come and hear why the miracle of Israel will soon involve you. How on earth could anything going on in Israel involve me? Sandra considered. She shook her head dubiously and tossed the flyer onto the stack of papers. The phrase, God's word is truth, stood out to her eyes once more. What does Israel have to do with truth? If the Bible was written thousands of years ago, how could there possibly be accurate predictions about today? She stole another glance at the flyer. God predicted in great detail, caught her attention. Is that just hype? She questioned. Or will this talk really give me evidence that God is real? The concept of God wasn't completely foreign to Sandra. Her mum had believed in a higher power, and some of her friends at school had been Christian. However, in Sandra's mind, God was an interesting consideration, yet an unproven possibility. Reading the words on the bright orange paper one more time, her curiosity increased. She wondered if James may have purposely singled the flyer out and left it on the floor. Perhaps he was planning to attend the presentation. If I could be assured that something God said thousands of years ago has actually come true, in great detail, she considered, then that would be strong evidence that he is real. Maybe I should go to this. Just in case James had singled the flyer out to keep, she placed it on the computer desk with a little note. Hope the house cleaning meets with your approval. Let me know if there are any problems. I wasn't sure whether to throw this flyer out or not. It was by itself and I thought it might be important. Do you mind if I use your little CD player while I work? I'll do the fridge, stove and cupboards tomorrow. Sandra. Taking one last look at the lovely clean rooms, Sandra left apartment 226 and darted up the stairs to her own place, hoping once again that no one would see her. Unfortunately, in the corridor, just as she was unlocking her door, Mr. Blue stepped out of the elevator. Their eyes met. "Hey, how's it going?" he asked in his kind, charming way. "Great," she replied quickly with a radiant smile. "It's been a good day for house cleaning." Embarrassed to be seen in such shabby clothing, Sandra tried to scurry inside. "Hey, you can do mine too, if you like," he called out. Sandra laughed and closed the door behind her. "Okay, that does it. From now on, I'll wear nice clothes over top of these bleach-stained ones until I get where I'm going." Tuesday morning, Sandra made her way back to finish the house-cleaning job with a top-hit CD in hand. Outside, the rain was pouring down in sheets and the skies were grey and heavy. With jeans and a sweatshirt over top of her designated cleaning outfit, Sandra had a leisurely ride with three other people on the elevator, unfortunately no tall men, and strolled casually across to door 226. Enthusiasm wasn't bubbling up in quite the same way as it had the day before. The weather had dampened her spirits, even though she hadn't set a foot outside. The first thing Sandra checked, once she had taken off her jeans and sweatshirt, was the computer desk. She hoped James had written a reply to her note or left further instructions. Sure enough, there was a small message. Feel free to use the CD player or the stereo if you like. Instructions for the stereo are on top of the TV. You may take all the papers you like, but please only from previous weeks. I wasn't quite finished reading the latest one. House looks fantastic. Oops, she thought to herself. I'd better go and get that newspaper before I forget. A few minutes later, the paper was back on James's coffee table, and Sandra was heading to the bathtub to get a large bucket of hot water. The fridge and oven were Tuesday's assignment, and she wasn't exactly looking forward to the task. Since she'd been generously offered the use of the stereo, Sandra found the instructions and turned it on. An iPod was already docked into the system, and Sandra decided it would be interesting to listen to James's music collection. Leaving it on random, the first piece was classical, and the second was by U2. Spraying the oven, Sandra left it to sit for a while and began to take everything out of the fridge. There wasn't really very much there besides milk and margarine, just a couple of mouldy containers of restaurant food and a few limp, wilted vegetables, all of which she tossed into the compost bin. When she opened the small freezer, she discovered a sirloin roast and a bag of frozen raspberries. Ah, just imagine how lovely that roast would smell in the oven, she thought, and if there were some crispy spiced potato wedges and lemon-buttered broccoli, it would be the most amazing meal. As she scrubbed away at the sour milk spill that had hardened at the bottom of the fridge, Sandra imagined the bag of frozen raspberries in a flaky, golden-crusted pie, warm and runny, fresh from the oven, with a big scoop of vanilla ice cream on top. Having maintained a healthy brown rice diet for the last month, in order to try an experimental detox and save on her grocery bill, the raspberry pie was a tantalizing idea. Suddenly a wonderful plan came to her. "I'll make James a pie," she determined. "Surely he would love to come home to a warm raspberry pie. That's got to be better than takeouts." The dreary day that lay ahead of her was suddenly full of colour. Sandra loved to cook. Having deprived herself of anything beyond the basics for quite some time, this seemed a splendid opportunity. It would be something special for her employer, and she would enjoy it vicariously. Now that there was something to look forward to, Sandra worked more energetically. When the oven and fridge were clean, she tried to find the ingredients to make the pie. There wasn't any Crisco shortening or butter in the fridge, so she picked up the container of Bessel margarine. "I guess I'll give it a try," she thought. She looked in every cupboard for flour, but she could find none of that either. Thinking she might have a little bit left in her own cupboards, Sandra ran quickly back up the stairs to the fourth floor, avoiding the elevator once again in her bleach-stained shirt. She was very pleased to find she had over 2 cupfuls of flour. The pastry didn't turn out exactly as she'd hoped. With only a little flour left to dust the countertop and soft margarine instead of shortening, the pastry kept sticking to the counter and falling apart when she lifted it up. However, she managed to patch together a half-decent crust in a square glass baking pan. She found enough sugar and cornstarch to mix with the raspberries and couldn't resist setting aside a few of the lovely red berries to nibble on. "Now, I'd better make sure there's a cookie sheet underneath this," she thought with amusement as she turned the clean oven on, "or it might boil over and make a big mess. Mum used to get so mad when I did that." As she cleaned up the counters, Sandra opened the kitchen cupboard under the sink to dispose of the plastic bag from the raspberries. A bright, crumpled orange wad of paper was sitting on top of the rest of the garbage. "The flyer," she mused, remembering the ad that she'd left on James's computer desk. "I guess he didn't want it." Had Sandra never seen the orange flyer again, she may not have given it a second thought. She decided against plucking it out from the trash, knowing she would likely find others in the manor's recycling bin. "I'll have to have another look at it," she told herself. "The topic sounded interesting to me." Once the cupboards had been cleaned and reorganized and the pie was baked to a crispy golden brown, Sandra pulled her good clothes back on. She hastily scribbled another note to James about the pie, and then reluctantly closed the door on the enticing aroma. Heading for the elevator, she pressed the down arrow. The recycling bin was on the basement floor.